True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Some crimes are so shocking, they don't just make headlines, they forever change our society. I'm Katie Ring, host of America's Most Infamous Crimes. Each week, I take on one of the most notorious criminal cases. Each case unfolds across multiple episodes, released every Tuesday through Thursday, from the first sign that something was wrong to the moment the truth came out or didn't. Listen to and follow America's Most Infamous Crimes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Sports bettors, Circa Sports now presents Palm Saturdays with Circa's Vice President of Operations, Mike Palm. Live from Bar Canada at the D from downtown Las Vegas. Here on 104.3 The Score. And watch live on YouTube and Twitch. Featuring the latest and the greatest of the sports betting landscape from coast to coast, along with some great guests. Here he is, Mike Palm.
Good Saturday morning here on The Score 104.3. I'm live at Bar Canada at the D in downtown Las Vegas. We're 63 degrees and sunny on our way to 96. That's right, 96, and it's only March. Looks like a beautiful day in Chicago, low 70s. Hope you're all enjoying it. And, of course, it is the madness. March Madness is fully upon us. It's engulfed our lives. With all apologies to Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, I'm sleepless in Las Vegas. It's a very interesting time. Special guest today coming up here in about 20 minutes, Doug Gottlieb. Of course, all of you remember him as a player from Oklahoma State. You might know him from his podcast and as the head coach of Wisconsin Green Bay the last two seasons. What a turnaround for Doug Gottlieb from 4-28 last year to having a winning record in the Horizon and overall. So we're going to talk to him. Obviously, we'll get his thoughts on the round of 32 matchups both today and tomorrow, and I want to talk to him a little bit about NIL. He was on with Jason Whitlock recently talking about Jay Billis and the role of NIL and how it's changed the game of college basketball. This time of the year, I have to tell you, pull the curtain back a little bit. For the folks that work in Las Vegas, it's really unique. It's different than Super Bowl. You know, Super Bowl is one day and it's one game. And pre-pandemic, most people used to arrive in Las Vegas on Friday afternoon and would leave on Monday. You know, post-pandemic, most people now come on Saturday. They're leaving early Monday morning. It's really shrunk that window of Super Bowl Sunday. This March Madness is an animal unto itself. You get the play-in games on Tuesday and Wednesday, so most folks get here on Wednesday morning. You know, we saw some get here a day earlier because they want to celebrate St. Patrick's Day here in Las Vegas as well. So maybe an extra long week, but it goes hard Thursday and Friday and today. And it'll start to wane down. A lot of people leaving on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening because they have to go back to work on Monday. But for those who work in the industry, you know, these are the days of the doubles. These are the days that you're working four doubles in a row, whether, you know, you're a bartender, you're a cocktail waitress, you're a dealer. This is the peak of the peak. This is the very busiest weekend of the year in Las Vegas, and it's reflected in the room rates and the airline prices and everything and what it costs to go to rent a booth at the book or at Stadium Swim. Of course, we still have the free watch parties. But it's basically for everybody, it's 7 a.m. till an hour after the last game ends, which, you know, that's here Pacific time, we're usually around 9:30. And then you get back up and you do it the next day. So it's challenging, it's a lot of fun, and you can sort of breathe when it's over, but when you live it, you're in the midst of it, and it's very hard on relationships. I've had, you know, girlfriends and wives, they don't understand this. A good friend of mine, Vinny Maiulo, who works at the South Point, he's been in the industry forever, he said, Mike, the only way I could overcome it was to marry a girl from Kentucky. So she's not going to complain, you know. It's easy for a wife to understand on Super Bowl weekend why you're working 18 hours. Not so much in March. Well, it's been an interesting first 2 days. Thursday, we saw a great group of games in that morning window, you know, starting at basically noon Central Time, 10 o'clock Pacific Time, or 11 o'clock Pacific, 9 Pacific and 11 Central. Really good games, not so much in the evening. Yesterday, we got good games all day long. Now, is there really Cinderella stories here? I guess High Point is right now, having beat Wisconsin, and we'll see how they're going to do today. But, you know, very few big upsets. VCU beats North Carolina, comes back from down 19, but VCU was a two-point underdog in the game. I don't call that a big upset. I don't call that a Cinderella when you're a two-point underdog. I do call High Point. That shocked me. They're catching 13.5 or 14 from Wisconsin. I have Arizona winning it all in my bracket, and I bet them at 19-1 in December. I thought the toughest game for Arizona would be possible Sweet 16 matchup with Wisconsin, because they got five guys that can spread the floor and shoot the three, and that's one thing Arizona struggles with. But they don't have to worry about that, because Wisconsin is out and High Point marches on. Other observations on the tournament. All four nines beat the eights. They were favored in most of those games. Speaking of favorites, I didn't even realize this till one of our customers up at the Detroit Ballroom said this to me late last night. I think the Kansas game was about 2 minutes to go. Miami was going to beat Missouri, and UConn was sort of up six or eight there on Furman. He said, you know, a 16-team parlay today, if you just bet a money line parlay of every favorite, it's going to cash. And I really wasn't paying attention because you had small favorites. Utah State was small over Villanova, but every single favorite won yesterday. And I'm going to ask Doug Gottlieb when he comes on about the effect of NIL. And what has it done to change these mid-majors? How did he's now coaching at a mid-major. Can you build a core group of players that come together to put a run? But because now your best player is going to get offered $2 million to go to a bigger school with NIL. So have we killed the Cinderella? Last year, everybody criticized it was so chalky. There was no upsets. That's not what we want for March Madness. All four ones went to the Final Four. Is this now the trend because of NIL? Do we need to observe it for a couple of years? And in Coach Gottlieb's opinion, what could we do possibly to change this? All right, let's take a look at the games today. I'll give you some thoughts because I actually found myself betting more games today when there's only eight games than I actually did yesterday, which is kind of surprising for me. I'm not one of these guys that needs action on every single game in the NCAA tournament, but when a line sticks out to me, I make my own number, and when it's off two or more on the side or four or more on the total, usually that triggers a play. I made Michigan State 6.5 over Louisville. Currently at Circa, they sit at 4.5. They were very impressive over North Dakota State. I know a lot of people in Izzo we trust in March. You know, there was a period there where they had a dry spell. But Michigan State and the coaching and the physical play against a Louisville team that everybody sided against with South Florida. Louisville led that game by 23. That game opened 7, got bet down to 4.5, and I know Louisville had an injury. 23-point lead, it finished 4. So South Florida covered all of those numbers. I've been down on Louisville the second half of the year. I think if you had the opinion that the ACC was really down, and then they ended up getting 8 teams in, it hasn't gone well for the ACC. Even the winner in Duke. I mean, they trailed Siena by 13 in the second half. They played horribly. NC State gets run out by Texas in the play-in game. North Carolina blows a 19-point second-half lead to Virginia Commonwealth in the state of North Carolina, and they get eliminated. SMU gets knocked out in the play-in. I don't know if Clemson could have played any worse yesterday. That was a loser for me. I talked to on the Molly and Haw show yesterday about Clemson over Iowa. Really didn't have much of a chance. They couldn't shoot the three. Every single possession, Iowa would draw a foul in the last 3 seconds of the shot clock. So Clemson got beat. The final margin was 6. It wasn't really even that close. So the ACC has struggled. And so you look for these trends of conferences when you get into these tournaments. That's another reason here why I like Michigan State over Louisville. So we laid in the second game today, which will tip at 1:45 a.m. in Chicago. 4.5 with Michigan State. Good thing for our parties is we open with Michigan. So all the Michigan people that back the Wolverines or the Spartans will be here in this horrible NCAA schedule of one game and one game and one game. You don't even spread out to 3 games until after 5 o'clock in Chicago. Totally ridiculous. TCU Duke. I really downgraded Duke, not just off the one game, but I don't think they've looked the same since they beat Michigan. You know, they played such a good game defensively against Michigan. Then they come back and they beat Virginia and that, and then they've just been a little bit lethargic. I know they have the injury problems. They come out and say, we thought this would be a breeze against Siena. Shire says he was outcoached. I don't know, TCU played awfully well against Ohio State. Remember, they led that game by 15 at half. Jamie Dixon's an experienced coach. I made this game 9. I took 11.5 with TCU. I am so upset with myself that I missed this game in the first round. How did I not bet against St. Mary's? And by the time I looked up, Texas A&M's already up 10. Now what are you going to do, lay 8.5 in game? You couldn't, because this St. Mary's team will hit a few threes at the end, and a 13-point lead will be 7, and you lose. They were getting 3. They were getting 3.5 in some spots. Randy Bennett recruits this gaggle of Australian lumberjacks. And why? Because he needs to beat Gonzaga. And then when they get into the tournament and they got to play against 5 guys that are at all athletes, it's a joke. Did you see the way Texas A&M? They're 6 inches smaller. They got every rebound. I mean, it was a joke, and I blew it. I totally, totally missed it. I think this is going to be a war against Houston. This game maybe Vanderbilt, Nebraska, and A&M Houston, I think, are the two games I'm most looking forward to watching today. I get how good Calvin Sampson's teams play defensively. I don't think this is his best defensive team. I also think they struggle to shoot the ball. They're always challenged to shoot the ball from distance, even more so this year. I don't think this is one of the best versions of his team. And remember, they went to the final against Florida last year and probably should have won that game. I think they're a step worse. I was really impressed with A&M. I made this game 8. They are getting 10.5, so that another play. Our favorite and now 2 dogs. And then I'm going to play the next game. I sound like a junkie here. Texas is playing Gonzaga. Tips at 6:10 on True and TBS. Boy, Gonzaga looked awful against Kennesaw State. And how about, again, we go back to conferences, the West Coast Conference. Santa Clara loses. They were a darling pick. Blow that game against Kentucky. They don't foul up 3. And then we saw St. Mary's get run out by Texas A&M. And Gonzaga struggled. Now they take on Texas. I haven't been high on Texas all year. But, boy, if they would have played a team with some more size and depth than Kennesaw, they would have lost that first round game late on Thursday night. I made this game 4. I'll take 6.5. I might even sprinkle a little bit on the money line. You can get 220 here on Texas. I think upset alert. For Mark Few and the Zags. I'm going to play the Illinois game, but I'm going to play it the same way I did the first round. I'm going to go over. I'm going to go over here. Again, they put the game in the 150s. Look, Illinois is very efficient offensively, and I've said this. I would pick some futures on them, but I don't think they can defend for 40 minutes for 5 straight games. VCU wants to get up and down with pace. I made this game 157.5. It's 151.5. We went over easily with Penn and Fran McCaffrey in the first round with Illinois. So over 151.5 is our play here in this game. And then, like I said, I really want to observe Vanderbilt and Nebraska. One of the things I've been was very impressed with was some of the crowds that traveled and created home environments at neutral sites. Number one on that list for me is Nebraska. Did the whole state of Nebraska travel down to Oklahoma City? Did they get in a big caravan and drive? I don't know, but that sounded like that game was in Lincoln. It was awesome. And you heard Fred Hoiberg say, boy, from the minute we came to shoot-arounds, we couldn't believe the amount of red and the support. Well, it's going to be that way as well against Vanderbilt. So Vandy's a 1.5-point favorite. I give Nebraska 2 points based on the crowd in this game, but it's still not enough. Because I made Vandy 1, it's still not enough to make a wager. Maybe it's an in-game observation here. And then the last game is you have the one true Cinderella that came out of the first round in High Point, and they take on Arkansas. Calipari's team playing very, very well right now. They made the great run through the SEC tournament. This Darius Acuff, to me, is the best player in the country. And if I was drafting, I would pick him above Peterson, who, by the way, Kansas is up 26 on Cal Baptist. And Cal Baptist goes on an 18-2 run. 5 straight possessions, Peterson didn't touch the ball. This is your number one player. This is your leader. They might be better off without him, Kansas. How'd the game he took warm-ups on that big Monday against Arizona when Arizona was number one and undefeated, and he scratched 3 minutes before the game. The line moved 4 points, and they beat Arizona. You can make the argument they're just as good without him, and I think this DeSponza character in BYU held that team hostage. I think he held the program. He scores 35 out of their 71, and Texas easily won that game. So Acuff's the guy for me. He hasn't missed a game. He never even comes out. He doesn't even come out of the games. He plays 40 minutes every game in the SEC tournament. He played every minute of it. How about in the triple overtime game against the pot-dealing Alabama team? He played all 55 minutes. The kid is incredible. And he has no conscience as a shooter. He's just going to keep putting it up, right? He misses 4 out of 5. He doesn't care. He wants the ball in his hands. He's got that big physical body. He reminds me a little bit of Anthony Edwards from Minnesota. Now, I hope he hasn't got the whole countryside of women pregnant. But this Acuff kid is really, really good. And I know my friend Mitch Moss finished 8th in our Invitational. He's got Arkansas at 45-1. I like that ticket right now. I like it a lot. I know Calipari said, are they sending us to a foreign country? We have to play in Portland, Oregon. Portland, part of the United States. They'll be just fine against High Point. I don't know if all those furniture manufacturers from North Carolina are going to make the trip all the way across the country. So those are my observations for today. In the final segment after Doug Gottlieb, I'll give you my picks on Sunday as well. As far as the future pools go here, I was looking at our liability. St. Louis is like a $1.3 million loser for us if the Billikens should somehow win. Well, our hometown here, Michigan, with Derek, could take care of that this morning. They played great against Georgia. I know that was Paul Howard's best bet, Georgia in the first round. Well, they were only down 40. But St. Louis played very well. They showed some of that form. They started out 25-1. Arkansas is another big liability for us, and then some of the Midwest schools, because we have so many people from the Midwest that come out here, and our customers are Michigan State's a liability for us, Michigan a little bit of a liability for us. That's my liability. That's the hole that I don't have. Programming note here, because of the NCAA tournament, Inside the Clubhouse with David Haw and Bruce Levine will not immediately follow the show, but a special time today, noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. Noon to 2 Central for Inside the Clubhouse. For those of you following along on The Score this morning, and the White Sox GM, Chris Getz, is going to be their guest at 12:30 today. I want to give you one more play here in the first segment before we send it to commercial. Dallas Stars, who, you know, I called Jake Ottinger a fake ace. He's got a hang-up on Edmonton. He's got a mental block on Edmonton, and that's why DeBoer pulled him in the Western Conference Final last year, and was very honest about it and got fired. Poor drunken DeBoer. Somebody else should give him a job. But he has no mental block against Minnesota or Colorado, and Ottinger probably played his game of the year in beating Colorado in overtime 2-1 the other night. They're only 2 points behind the Avalanche. Well, now 4, but with a game in hand, because Colorado beat Chicago, the Blackhawks, last night. Dallas is still 6-1 to win the Central. That's a compulsory bet. 4 points behind with a game in hand right now, 6-1 to win the Central. I think you're forced to make that bet, and there's a ton of value in that. I think that the real number should be around +260 or +280. All right, when we come back on Palm Saturdays, our honor and our privilege to talk to the great Doug Gottlieb. 104.3 The Score.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
If you're following the Cubs or White Sox from outside Chicago, every game still counts.
You still want insight, perspective, and coverage that sounds right. Context that explains what's happening and why it's important.
That's what we bring on Raheemy Harris and Grody, breaking down every storyline on both the north side and the south side.
Chicago Baseball Talk, with clarity, honesty, and perspective wherever you are.
Stay connected to the Cubs and Sox and understand the season the way Chicago fans do.
Follow and listen to Raheemy Harris and Grody on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Palm Saturdays, starring Circa's Vice President of Operations, Mike Palm, live from Bar Canada at the D from downtown Las Vegas. Presented by Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be, with no bet fees, on 104.3 The Score.
Welcome back in to Palm Saturdays here on The Score, and it's our honor on this first weekend of the college basketball tournament to have the great Doug Gottlieb join the show, courtesy of the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline, betting the way it should be. Good morning, Coach Gottlieb. How are you?
Wow, that blows me away. Last year, no one would have had me on the radio.
Now, come on, we would have had you on to break down the games. Anyhow, I want to start with a couple macro questions, Coach.
Okay.
Your first year as a head coach at Wisconsin Green Bay, 2-18, 4-28 overall, and somehow you have to make some changes. The results speak for themselves. A 14-win improvement, and to go to 12-8 in a Horizon League where we saw Wright State give the Virginia Cavaliers everything they wanted. So here's my question. Going 4-28 just doesn't happen because of bad luck. It's a culture problem. Guys get comfortable losing, habits slip, and at some point people start expecting it. So when you walked into the locker room day one in season two, how much of your job was actually about changing people? Did you have to recruit not only based on athletic ability, but on leadership? And how did you get guys who had become used to losing at that level to believe in your vision of the future?
It's a lot. First thing is, I would greatly disagree with you in terms of that we had a culture problem. We didn't. We just didn't. If you watch us at the end of our first season, kids fought their tails off. I do think losing became a little bit habitual, and guys couldn't believe. You know, last game of the year we play Oakland, who was one of the best teams in our league, and we had it down 14 with like 4 minutes to go, and our guys just, again, it's just a lack of overall self-confidence. You know, we had the nation's leading scorer, who also is leading the country in effective field goal percentage, and he broke his ankle. Just after halftime, we're leading Santa Barbara by 15 at the half. Up 8 in the second half, he breaks his ankle. So, I mean, it was just one of those, everything that could go wrong went wrong. But you are right in terms of changing, you got to change things out. You know, you got to figure out what you have to accept failure and say, okay, why did we fail? So, you know, in college basketball, you change guys out. The hardest decision was who to keep, you know. Who to get rid of was easy. Who to keep was hard because, you know, I am a just somebody who believes in people, every person that I've recruited. And even though I got the job in late May and we had academic probation, so there was players we couldn't take, we couldn't practice. You know, like, this sounds crazy. We had to take 2 days off a week. Everybody else in America only has to take 1 day off a week just because we had APR probation. So it was one of those, everything was up against us. We had to figure out who to keep. And honestly, we just kept the guys who believed and were willing to understand our goal as a staff was to bring in every new player was seen as better than the players already in the gym, which would cause the players in the gym to either level up or not play. And we made no promises to anybody. I had two staff members leave, two leave voluntarily. One I had to change out just because it wasn't a cultural fit. I had to accept what I do well, what I do poorly, and find a better staff to cover for my weaknesses. And then, as you mentioned, from day one, all we poured into the guys was, look, we're not going to add anybody, and we're going to try not to get rid of anybody. So all we have is 16 players in this room, 6 coaches in this room. When we lose, it's all going to be my fault, and the whole world's going to come down on me, and that's okay. I'm built for it. But when we win, we're only going to win because of what we do together. And we every player we signed because they had one agenda in mind, and that was winning. And you know what? We had an unbelievable culture. We were okay talent-wise, but they all love each other. I think they like playing for me and love playing for our staff. We pour into them on a daily basis. We prepare them so that they know that their success matters to us, and we're always there for them. And sometimes we have to make hard decisions because I can only play five of them. But I think generally they had an unbelievable basketball experience. And the reward as a coaching staff is now we got to do it again, and we'll probably have to do it with about the same numbers in terms of bringing five or six back. That's just the nature of the sport now.
We live in a different era, the nature of the sport, of NIL. And I, you know, one of the things that is here in Las Vegas and being bookmakers and bettors on the other side of the counter as well is taking a look at last year's results where we didn't see the Cinderella stories. And, you know, Arkansas is a 10 seed. Well, the Cinderella story. Not really, right? And so how many?
How
many,
like $15 million.
Yeah. How many more years do we have to observe to say now there's a it's a change? And the mid-major Cinderella is gone. I heard you on with Jason. I heard you on with Jason Whitlock recently. And, you know, you say what you want about Jason. I think he uses a literary license to get reactions from people a little bit. I mean, I remember him as a writer for in Kansas City as a really good baseball writer years ago. But I heard you on talking about Jay Billis. And so let's just go to the let's go to the tape on that.
When I came in, I thought Jay didn't like the fact that I was critical of coaches and players. But he's grown critical of the college game. And it does feel like, Jay, if you don't love this thing, why are you doing this? I think he's been better this year, but I do think that he's a brilliant guy, but he's just taken sort of a negative tone about our sport. And I say that supporting the – what I'm talking about is not everything's perfect, but his just is like – I don't know. He doesn't like the system that he helped create, right? He's all been about player movement. He's always been pro-player, pro-movement, pro-free will. Basically, he wants college basketball anarchy. He believes that schools should be allowed to do whatever they want to do and that the NCAA is bad and the system is bad. When at any point can we all admit that the entire rise of Jay Billis, his entire professional broadcasting life, is based upon one thing. What's that thing, Jason?
Duke.
Yes. The system that he says is, you know, rigged against players has made him a multi-millionaire 10 times over, right? He actually is the beneficiary of what I believe true NIL is, which you go to a great school, you have a great career, or you have a he had a really good career. For his ability, had a great career. You play for a great coach, and you forever benefit because of the school in which you went to. Everybody who works at ESPN has some sort of attachment with Duke.
I don't want to make it all about Jay Billis, but the era of the changing of college basketball, how can a team now as a mid-major, and you're coaching a mid-major, build a core of players that can make a run beyond one game in the NCAA tournament where your best or second best or three best players are going to get a couple million dollars to go to a bigger school the next year? Can we ever change this?
I don't know. I mean, I just, if you want real-life examples, I have a junior who's a true junior. He's 20 years old. He signed at Green Bay two staffs ago with Will Ryan. He played for Sundance Wicks for 1 year when they turned around, won 18 games. He decided to stay with me, and last year started every game, and 2 years ago, and we won four games. He had some injuries at some inopportune times. That's one of the reasons we had bad. We're up 2 points against Providence. He rolls his ankle. He hurts his knee against Cleveland State. Like, you name it. He had mono to start the year. He's a great kid. This year he had an unbelievable year. He averaged 14 a game. We cut his turnovers in half. He's our backup point guard. He's our starting four-man. He's an amazing kid. His girlfriend plays volleyball for our school. His sister is a freshman. His parents live, you know, an hour away. He could not be a better student-athlete. I don't even have to check his grades because he's always a straight-A student. And he's left with we talked last week, Coach, I just don't know. Like, what do I do when I had the potential to make four times? I can't afford to pay him what he can make. So his decision is going to be, do I want to end up my career as one of the all-time greats at Green Bay? or do I want to have a good career at Green Bay? Everybody likes me. Everybody respects me. But then I go and play my final season at a bigger school where probably a lesser role, but at 2-3x, maybe even 4x what we can pay him. And again, like we're willing to do whatever we can to keep him, but there's just a reality to what our budget looks like and how to form a successful team around him. So the answer to your question is no, it's not going to happen. You know, the way in which we believe I can combat it is I'm trying to get as many Wisconsin kids as possible. First thing is we want no entitlement in the program. You know, I'm not, despite what anybody wants to think about me, anybody who knows me knows I try and carry myself as the most humble person I can possibly be. I'm the lowest paid coach in the league. And my singular goal in reworking my contract this year is going to be to make sure my staff gets more money. You have to live it, breathe it, and be it because players see it. But I don't know what to do. You know, our way of combating it is we're going to try and get as many Wisconsin kids, bring back as many Wisconsin kids. There's only 4 Division I programs in the state of Wisconsin, and we feel like at our level, you know, there's only 2 us in Milwaukee. We're different than Milwaukee, and we're going to be the home for Wisconsin kids. And we took two. We have 2 incoming freshmen. We're probably trying to get one more, and then we're going to try and get guys on bounce back. And just they want to play close to home. You want to be loyal to a place. This is your place. But I don't know how you tell a kid, hey man, you know, we can pay you a couple $100,000. They can pay you $1 million. Turn down $1 million that you're never going to make playing basketball again to come back and play for old Green Bay. Like that's not. You have to be realistic as a mentor and father figure. And it's a very, very difficult time. And, you know, and it's also why the mid-major, the chance to have a mid-major in the Final Four is probably over. Can you do it? Can you build something like Miami of Ohio did? Remember, they have a good money, and they brought everybody back. They lost some as well. Yeah, but then you saw yesterday just the talent, the talent gap between the haves and the have-nots is so great. There's not a lot you can do about it at that level.
We're talking to Doug Gottlieb, head coach of UW Green Bay, starred at Oklahoma State under Eddie Sutton. Coach, I've enjoyed listening to you as an analyst on TV and your podcast. You're really good at breaking down games. I want to ask about a couple of games here in the round of 32, one from today. I think this Texas A&M Houston game is going to be one of the most entertaining games of the day. I was very, very impressed with A&M, how athletic they were in dismantling St. Mary's. And we know how good defensively and rebounding Houston is. Your thoughts on A&M and Houston?
Again, this is, you know, I have a dear friend who actually really, really helped me. He's a mentor of mine, and I guess now he's a friend. His name's Kyle Keller. Kyle was the head coach. He was assistant coach when I was at Oklahoma State. He was the head coach of Stephen F. Austin up until last year. Mid-year, he got fired. And so he came up, and he spent a week with me in Green Bay on his own dime. I mean, he's unbelievable, dude, and just gave me copious notes and tried to help me. Anyway, so this is his second time on staff at A&M, his first time with Bucky. And, I mean, he's like, this guy is unbelievable. He's so good and so locked in on how they play. A&M is going to be a monster. I will tell you, though, in year one, they're not quite where they need to be athletically to play how they want to play, but the kids play really hard. And, you know, again, because they're seeing early success, I think you're getting even more effort out of kids, and maybe they're playing kind of over their skis a little bit. Whereas Houston, as much as the reputation and they're outstanding defensively, this is actually a great offensive group for Houston. I don't like the matchup for A&M. I just think they topped out. I think, you know, St. Mary's was so unathletic, and they're used to playing at such a slow pace, and then they got behind, and they're not a team that can get behind. So to answer your question, stylistically, yeah, it'll be a fun watch, but I do think that Houston's just got a little bit more. They have so much more scoring talent. And then Kingston Flemings is a freshman. What a player. Holy cow. As a guy who used to compete as a player against Kelvin Sampson, I can tell you begrudgingly, he's a hell of a coach. And I do think that we're a year or 2 years away from it being an even talent match. I don't think that's the case in round two.
All right, and then a game tomorrow, a 5-4 matchup, the last game of the night and the last game of the first weekend is Texas Tech and Alabama. I have a friend who's a graduate of Arizona, and he has his season tickets are one row behind the opposing team's bench, which is the perfect spot because he gets to observe all the Big 12 teams coming in. And he told me in the last 2 years he hasn't been as impressed with any other visiting coach as he has Grant McCaslin at Texas Tech. I thought you could draw a line through this team when Toppin went down. They went to Ames and beat the Cyclones after the injury. I think McCaslin did the right thing and sort of conceded that game against Iowa State in the Big 12 tournament to be fresh for this. You're going to get to play Nate Oates in this helter-skelter highest-scoring offense in America. How do you break down Texas Tech-Alabama?
Well, it's hard because, you know, Alabama doesn't have their leading scorer, right? He got caught with 2 pounds of weed. But they have plenty of talent, and they space you out. I agree with you. I think it's a great watch. I do think that Tech being without Toppin, again, at some point there's a talent gap there, whereas I don't think it's as much the case. God, what's the kid? Hold on. You can help me out if you have rosters in front of you. I'm literally in Orange County. He went to Pacifica Christian High School. He transferred in from Pepperdine. Why am I forgetting his name? And he's comes off the bench for Alabama. He's a 6-year senior. He got hurt last year. Oh, just blanking on names. Anyway. I don't think there's as much a drop-off for Bama as there is when Toppin's out. Again, I'm going more personnel because, yes, I would agree with you. Grant's awesome. He's really, really good. He was at Baylor when they won a national championship, and then he did a good job at North Texas. But it's not like the other guy's a slouch. I mean, Nate's been phenomenal, too. Bama's ability to embrace the three-point line. They still seem a step ahead of everybody offensively. It is offense against defense, but without Toppin, I do like Alabama in the game.
Houston Mallett, I believe, is who you're talking about.
Houston Mallett. Yeah, his dad, Wes, used to be the AD at UC Riverside. Now he went kind of into private business. But, yeah, Houston Mallett, yeah, he's a stud. Stud kid.
All right, last question, Coach. I overlapped you a little bit at Notre Dame. You were there my senior year, so I got to go watch you play at the ACC. And then you had some suitors. You ended up choosing to go play for Eddie Sutton at Oklahoma State. I'm a firm believer, you know, he took three teams to a Final Four. And guys that move around don't get as much credit as somebody that stays at a school for 35 years. I think Larry Brown and Eddie Sutton are two of the most underrated coaches in the history of college basketball, and I'll put them up against anybody. In our lives, we learn from people around us, and we take something from him and her and try to make ourselves the best person. What did you take from Eddie Sutton that has helped you become a successful college basketball coach or a successful person?
Ooh, how much? When's our heart out? Because there's a lot of things. Firm but fair, man. That actually, Brad Stevens told me that a long time ago, but that was... I mean, you know, I obviously played for, I think, two great men. John McCloud was a hell of a coach, hell of a guy that I played for at Notre Dame. His approach, very different than Coach Sutton's. But, you know, and whereas he never embarrassed you in front of your teammates, he's very much a professional, very even-keeled. Coach Sutton was not that way. He wasn't a raving lunatic, but when you did something to upset him, he let you know. But he could make you feel small without cursing at you. And, you know, of the things I learned, it's, you know, one that you build it on defense. You build it on daily fundamentals. Nowadays, we call it vitamins. But the second thing is you got to find a way to be relatable and have a relationship with your players. You know, I think the big flaw in Coach McCloud and Coach Sutton was in college basketball, you have to have a relationship with your players. Now, for me, you know, I sometimes have too much of a big brother approach, and they come over to my house. We have what we call family dinner, where on Sundays the coaches cook and the players clean up, and we watch ball together, and we do it all year long. And And I just really want to feel like this is, they have a home away from home. But there are times in which that's too much, and there are times in which that can cross the lines in coaching. So you got to be firm but fair, but they got to have a relationship with you. You got to know about their girlfriend, their parents, what's going on in their lives, because that affects their, that affects how they play. And if you just have enough working knowledge of everybody in their circle and know when to call their dad, when not to call their dad, when to make sure when you're at a restaurant, if their girlfriend's a waitress, to make sure you say hi to them. If you feel like they're connected with you in their life, they'll do whatever, anything you want for them in basketball, because they know you're a real person. And I thought Coach Sutton, despite the fact that he's a little bit older, he just would do a good job of always communicating with us that he was there for us. We went over to his house, you know, to watch football games, and we always had to stop by in the office every day and say hi to a coach if we were in Stillwater. We had relationships. Those relationships are still, like I told you with Kyle Keller, they're still going today. And when you have those relationships, you become a real family. You'll fight for your family far more than you'll fight for just some random coach. Learned that from Coach Sutton. It still rings true today.
Coach Gottlieb, thanks for a minute or two or 20. We really appreciate your time. When we come back after the break, I'll give you my best bets for the Sunday card. It's Palm Saturdays, 104.3.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
We're back with more Palm Saturdays, starring Circa's Vice President of Operations, Mike Palm, live from Bar Canada at the D from downtown Las Vegas. Presented by Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be, with no bet fees, on 104.3 The Score.
We're back, taking you through the top of the hour. Just a reminder, inside the clubhouse with David Haw and Bruce Levine, not on at 9 to 11 today because of March Madness. They'll be on at noon to 2 Central Time. For Inside the Clubhouse, Chris Getz, White Sox GM, joins the show at 12:30. Thanks to Doug Gottlieb. That was terrific. Great insights. I mean, we could have done the whole hour with him breaking down the round of 32-16 games. So I appreciate the time and appreciate Ryan and Mitch and the guys who produced the show. Adam and Sean helping out with getting these guests. It's a part of the show I really enjoy, and so I thank them for that. For as many bets as I had, I think 4 here today on the NCAA, I really only have one bet tomorrow. And it's Florida laying that you can find 10 in the market against Iowa. It's anywhere from 10 to 11. You can find 10 at Illinois over Iowa. Boy, did they look good last night. By the way, how about creepy peeping Tom Todd Golden having his starters in up 46. What a joke. This guy is a real DB, but he can coach and he can break down matchups, and this Florida team's dangerous. Sitting there watching Iowa Clemson, because I had a bet on the game, I came to really a terrifying reality, and that's that I'd have to watch one more game with one of these two teams, and it's Iowa. I don't know how they compete on the glass with Florida. I don't. I think Florida has a lot of size to try to defend Sturts and their shooters. I think this is a tough matchup for most teams. It's especially a tough matchup for Iowa. I was impressed how Iowa was able to create contact and draw so many fouls in the last 5 seconds of the shot clock against Clemson. I don't think that's going to happen against the Gators. So we'll lay the points in that game. For those of you who know me, know that I really like these polls that are done. Polls of professional athletes, of managers or coaches, of executives. A recent poll came out. Now, this was a poll of the top scouts of Major League Baseball teams, and it's an ACES poll. It's to rank the ACES. Well, rank the best starting pitchers, but it's a poll about who are the true aces in Major League Baseball. And I want to go through the results because I tried to guess the top 10. And I said, can I guess the top 10? If it was like it was bit a note on Name That Tune. I think I can do it in under 14 and a half guesses. No shot. I had no shot. I had two of my first five were wrong. So I was in big trouble. No Zach Wheeler. No Zach Wheeler in the top 10. I would have Zach Wheeler in my top 10. My obvious guess is, well, first of all, to the person who was telling me the list, I said, how many Dodgers are on it? Two or three. There's got to be two or three. Because you can make arguments for Yamamoto, Ohtani, and Snell. Maybe they don't put Ohtani there because he's not a full-time pitcher. He said two. So when he said two, I went with Snell and Yamamoto. Well, I was wrong there. There was no Snell. It was Ohtani and Yamamoto. I started off with the two obvious, and I was right, Skubal and Skeens. I had the first two correct. Yamamoto was fourth. Ohtani was ninth. Okay? I came back with Christopher Sanchez. He was fifth. And then Crochet, he was third. A little bit overrated to me. To me, I would put Wheeler, but I would have Yamamoto third, Wheeler fourth, Sanchez fifth, and maybe Crochet sixth. And then I had to guess around. It's some older guys. I might not have said they're at the top of their game now. Fried was sixth. I'm not a Max Fried guy, so forget about him when we're looking at Cy Young odds. When I thought about the true definition of ace, like a guy who is the ace of his team and who puts in all the innings, I thought of the guy that threw the most innings for the American team in the World Baseball Classic, Logan Webb, right, who got two star. Yeah, he was seventh. But he is an ace. Now, my friend Amal Shaw calls him a nine-high flush. He said he's good, but he can be beat, right? He can be beat by better. But Webb was there, and then DeGrom was 10th. Sale was 8th. I forgot about Sale. I wasted like five picks trying to get to Sale. I was going with Astro. I said Framber, no. Hunter Brown, no. Right? Seattle really doesn't have an ace. But eventually we got there. So what's the windup, Mike? Get us to a payoff here. Well, taking a look at the scouts' evaluation of the talent here, do some Cy Young votes make sense? Do some Cy Young odds right now make sense? When you look at the National League, how can you bet Skeens at 2-1? It's just you can't bet a Cy Young at 2-1 preseason. Maybe you can in July if he's dominating. Yamamoto, I don't know. Might be a tough ask for Yamamoto with all the innings he pitched in the playoffs. To me, the interesting one was Sanchez in the National League, fifth best ace voted by the scouts. He's 8-1. 8-1. I would take a look at Christopher Sanchez from Philadelphia. And then I didn't really inspire anything from this list on the American League side. So take with it what you want. By the way, I went Cade Horton. Where'd they have Cade Horton? I believe they had Cade Horton 40th. I mean, obviously he had one year of work, but he'll be an ace someday. Thanks a lot to Doug Gottlieb, to all of you who joined us. Good luck the next 2 days with your March Madness brackets. And we'll join you next Saturday here on The Score to break down the Elite Eight. It's Palm Saturdays coming to you every Saturday morning on 104.3.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Mark Sollinger, producer and one of the hosts of The Moth Podcast. For nearly 2 decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.